Once in a rough, wild country, on the other side of the sea, there lived a dear little fairy, and her home was in a tree. To northward and to southward, she could overlook the land, and that was why she had her home in a tree, you understand? For she was a friend of the friendless, and her heart was in her hand. And when she saw poor children, their goats from the pasture take, or saw them milking and milking till their arms were ready to break, what a splashing into their milk pails her gifts of gold would make. And when she saw poor women patiently day by day, spinning and spinning and spinning their lonesome lives away, she would hide a shining lump of gold in their flax, I've heard them say. And when she saw poor ditchers knee-deep in some wet dike, digging and digging and digging to their very graves belike, she would hide a shining lump of gold where their spades would be sure to strike. And when she sometimes in the night a fisher would hear her sweet low call, and all at once a salmon of gold right out of his net would fall. But what I have to tell you is the strangest thing of all. If any ditcher or fisher, or child or spinner, gay, bought jewels or wine, or silk so fine, or boasted their pleasure at play, the fairy's gold in his very hold would turn to a lump of clay. Another line in there. I should write them out.
That's okay.
If any ditcher or fisher, or spinner or child, or child or spinner old, bought shoes for the feet, or bread to eat, or a coat to keep from the cold, the gift of the little fairy was always trusty gold. That's it. So fine, or staked their pleasure at play. The fairy's gold in his very hold would turn to a lump of clay. When I was a kid about 20, I thought I knew everything. Till I met a guy on the corner, he sold me a beautiful ring. He whispered, "Young man, it's a bargain. The gold is the finest you've seen." Well, I thought it surely was from Ireland, because it turned my finger so green. My daddy, he called me an umbel. And I left the house in a huff. And he said, "If you never come back here, I'm sure that'll be soon enough." So I stayed a week with the neighbors. I thought he would quickly repent, and I wrote him a letter, and this is a message he sent. Can't get on that. This is the message he sent. He said, "If you think we're pining to see you, just think of some more funny jokes, because this comes from all the folks." Donna, I am off of it. I can't say it. I better write it down and then repeat it over there another day.
Okay.
Little orphan Annie came to our house to stay, to wash the cups and saucers and brush the crumbs away. And she was a chickens off of the porch and dust the hearth and sweep and make the fire and bake the bread and earn her board and keep. And all us other children, when the supper things was done, we sat around the kitchen fire and had the mostest fun of listening to the witch tales that Annie tells about. Goblins get you if you don't watch out. How once there was a little boy, he wouldn't say his prayer. And when he went to bed at night away upstairs, his mammy heard him holler and his daddy heard him bawl. And when they turned the covers down, he wasn't there at all. And all they ever found of him, they seeked him in the rafter room, the cubby hole and press. Upstairs, downstairs, everywhere I guess, but all we ever found of him was just his pants around about. And the goblin go get you if you don't watch out. And once there was a little girl, she'd always laugh and grin and make fun of everyone and all her blood and kin. And once when they had company and the old folks was there, she mocked them and she shocked them and said she didn't care. And just as she was about to kick her heels and turn and run and hide, there was two great big black things was standing by her side. And they snatched her to the ceiling, for she knows what she's about. And the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. And little orphan Annie says, when the blaze is blue, and the lamp wick sputters, and the wind goes ooh, you better mind your parents and your teachers fond and dear, and cherish them that love you and dry the orphan store. Tear and help the poor and needy ones that cluster all about, or the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. And you know, I've got a cold and I haven't, no wonder I can remember any of them. You say they don't have that?
Yeah, I've got it, but let's hear that one again.
That's about the...
Old Aunt Darkie the chicken.
That's about the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Once there was a little chicken, and his friends were very few, for he thought that there was nothing in the world but what he knew. He always in the farmyard had a very forward way, telling all the hens and turkeys what they ought to do and say. Mistress Goose, he said, I wonder that your boys think you should let go paddling in the water. Why, it'll kill them to get wet. And to old Aunt Darkie, he began on her one day. Why do you sit all summer in your nest on no good eggs up in the hay? You silly thing, said old Aunt Darkie. You yourself were in an eggshell just a few short weeks ago. And if kind wings had not warmed you, you would not be out today telling hens and geese and turkeys what they ought to do and say. Now?
Yeah.
Once I had a little pony. His name was Dapple Gray. I loaned him to a lady to ride a mile away. She whipped him, she slashed him, she drove him in the mire. I wouldn't lend my pony now to all that, for all that lady's ire. I think these quilts are so pretty when they're new.
Beautiful. One of the prettiest ones you've done, isn't it?
I think it was. No, I don't read so. That fan that I made for Steve.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty one.
It was set together with pink, mm-hmm. and it was a good piece of pink material. It was broadcloth. I got it, bought it at Lafayette and ran on the store where they had it on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it, and I had it finished one year at Christmas time. I gave it to Fred, he was there one day, and I said, just take it home with you. I said, then there ain't going to be somebody else coming in here and play that when I've made it for Steve.
Right.
And that he took it home with him, and he carried that all over the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Showed it to the old, all of the old women, and it was pretty. It was such a pretty shade of pink to set together with.
Grandma, what year were you born in?
1894.
And that makes you how old?
93.
93 years old. What was your most fun thing to do as a child?
Play dressed up in some older girl's clothes. We had some neighbors that had girls that were grown, almost young ladies, and my sisters and me was so much younger, and we'd go to their house, and they had the upstairs with a lot of clothes, and we'd dress up in them.
What was a daily routine for you as a 10-year-old? You know, what was it like?
Oh, we worked at home when we was kids. We had to work for weeds and in the garden, help my mother. We had a garden there's a plant that grows on the ground. Now, I can show it to you. It's from a field there in my yard. It's called parsley. It covers the ground. It crawls along.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brittle.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take a bucket and go in the garden and pull that full and feed it to the hogs. And the hogs will eat corn and eat that.
Is that right?
They're just crazy about it.
You're not the oldest. You weren't the oldest child.
No, my sister, the one that lived at Seymour, Ines, she was the oldest. There was a year and 9 months between us. And there was over 2 years between all of the rest of us. There'd be 2 years to 3 months. And 2 years and 6 months, maybe. There was 8 of us.
Did you walk to school or ride a horse and buggy?
Oh, we walked to school. We didn't know what a horse and buggy was to ride in. I rode to school in a sleigh one time with a neighbor.
You did?
Uh-huh.
But that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, if we wasn't dressed warm enough, we didn't have our face wrapped up, but was a headache. We started to school and we got to their house, and he was just the man driving out, taking his boy to school. And he didn't have as far to go as we did.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked us up, and we rode to school in that sleigh on the snow. He had two horses hitched to the sleigh.
What was your favorite subject in school?
Reading and poetry. Of course, we had poetry in our reading, and we also had, and spelling. I liked spelling awful well. We had lots of spelling in our other studies. And now we had a reader. And it had the reading lesson in it. And then at the end of every, it was like a little short story, at the end of every one, there'd be a list of sentences with one word blank.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to fill that blank in with a word out of the lesson. And after we'd done that, then we had a list of words we had to learn to spell. See, our reader answered for 3 books. It answered for the language book.
Language, reading, and what?
And
this is a McGuffey reader.
I see.
Did you have the McGuffey reader?
I don't know. I expect you did.
This is a spelling book. Did the spelling books look like this back then?
No, our spellings, we didn't have a spelling book till we got way up in eighth grade, seven or eight. But see now, what is this, a reader?
That's called McGuffey's Reader.
McGuffey's Reader. And then, see this poetry we had learned all of it.
You had to memorize them.
We had to memorize them. And then at the end of the reading lesson, see, here's the first of it. The shepherd boy. And then at the end of it, let's see. This is the end of the lesson. But let's see, it must have been an earlier book than this that had the lesson with the blanks.
Yeah.
Blank words that we had to fill out.
Yeah.
No, it ain't in this. It was in our a younger book. And then we had a list of spelling words. And they was from out of the lesson, but we had to learn to spell all them.
This spelling book here has little sayings. The owl hoots in the dark. Rest not. Life is sweeping by. Go and dare before you die.
What year is that?
This is 1800 and something.
No, I mean, what grade?
Oh, I don't know. This is 1891. I'm not sure. It just says the Indiana State Series.
I can't see good enough to tell.
Spelling book.
This is a third reader.
Yeah, that's a third reader, but this doesn't really say what...
That's a spelling book.
This is a spelling book.
Well, let's see, we didn't...
1891. What was your first job like after you got out of school as a seventh grade? You went to work, didn't you?
I done housework, worked for people in homes.
How much money did you make a day or a week or?
$1.50 for the first, and then later on I got $2.
A day or a week?
A week. I was gonna look at this. You see some of these.
Did you save your money or did you blow it on candy, Grandma?
There wasn't no candy in the neighborhood. There was a little store there. We didn't get candy for Elton. Oh, we bought our clothes with it.
What town were you born in?
I'm born in the country, in rural, and of course there wasn't any rural delivery then. You had to go to 6-7 miles, pick up your mail.
In rural Indiana?
Down in Jackson County. The closest little town was Freetown, and then that was north of us, and south of us was the county seat that it ran through.
What was your mother's name?
My mother, Laura.
And your dad?
Brant.
Can you tell us the story about your dad going hunting and killing the quail?
Well, there wasn't nothing to it on me. Everybody at that time hunted in the winter for a lot of their meat. And he had a That's what they call a double barrel shotgun, I think. And it's got, when you shoot one of them capsules, the shot just flies everywhere. And he shot into that covey of quails, and the quail
killed 12 in one shot.
12 with one shot.
Did the...
I don't know how many shots that shell had in it, but...
Did he ever kill a deer?
Oh, no, they weren't at a deer there. It is too cleared off, and they wasn't any deer.
So what kind of food, what kind of wild animals did your dad hunt besides quail?
Rabbits.
Rabbits?
Rabbits. And he was a fur trapper, too. He trapped furs. And then he would kill them and skin them and stretch the hide. He had certain shaped boards. One end was pointed, and then it got bigger as it went down and down. The other end was the same. About halfway down, it didn't change shape. It was. he trapped skunk. He didn't want to trap skunks, but they would sometimes get in the trap because they smelled so bad. But he would buy the hides off of other people that trapped them and killed them. And lots of times I've known him to buy hides, and they didn't know how to stretch the hides. They stretch them, and they wouldn't be the right shape. And I remember mostly skunks. I've seen them, but not very many did he bring home from he caught himself. And mink, and they were scarce.
What about raccoon?
Yes, coons. But most of his hunting was for rabbits and quail. And the furs, he resold them.
And your mom, did she work outside the home, or did she just...
No. We raised a garden, and it's a woman next door to me here. Before I went away, last summer I guess, she was still getting dirty in the summer, carrying dirt in our dress tail. I said, we didn't carry dirt in our dress tails. I said, the dirt we worked in, played with, she said, playing in the dirt. I said, the dirt we played in was in the garden, full of weeds out of plants, weeding the plants.
So you did a lot of canning. Did you ever bury your vegetables in the ground for winter?
Yes, potatoes and apples. It was a long time before we had any apples of our own, because my dad bought the ground new, and there wasn't any fruit on it. The first fruit I remember on that land was persimmon.
I like persimmon pudding. You?
Not too well. I can eat it, but I ain't the craziest about it. I like them raw. I like to eat the persimmons, but if they have it frozen, mm-hmm. There is two kinds. There's an early persimmon, but if you get old one of them late persimmon before it's ripe, oh Lord, they're so puckery, they're vastly like. You never could get it open.
I know.
How do you bury your food in the ground?
Bury what?
All your food.
Our food?
Yeah.
We didn't bury anything but only potatoes.
Potatoes and cabbage?
Yeah, we buried cabbage.
How did you do it?
We didn't dig a hole to bury our potatoes. I think some people did. But we leveled the ground off, so if there would be any water fall on that, it wouldn't soak down and stand there. It'd run off. We buried it like a teepee.
Mm-hmm.
And make it deep on the ground with leaves or straw, and then put your potatoes there, and then cover them good with a cloth of some kind, and then cover them deep with leaves and straw and dirt on top of that. And they always had a place marked where it would be best to open it, and that stuff would stay in there sometimes for way over a month. Because we couldn't, the snow would be deep and froze, we couldn't, the ground would be frozen, we couldn't dig to get the...
Did you ever live in a log cabin?
I born in a log cabin and lived in one for years. We raved in one.
Did it have dirt floors, Grandma?
Yes. No, we didn't have dirt floors.
We had hardwood floors.
We had heavy, just like barn floors.
Barn floors.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept warm by the fireplace, right?
No, we had stoves.
You had a heat stove?
We never had a fireplace.
What kind of stove? Was it coal or wood stove?
We called it a box stove. It was just sort of like, oh, it'd be, I expect, about that long. And deep enough. On top it had two lids. We have cooked beans on that a lot of times, put them on early. And
mm-hmm.
We had the iron pots. If we was in a hurry, I remember my mother would take the lid off and set the pot next to the fire. But we nearly always, if we had a, you had to have a flat bottom pot to have any luck, unless you did take the lid off and set your pot in the next to the fire. But pots all had rounded bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just hateful things to set down. You had to be careful. Before you got set down out of your hand, it'd fall over.
Did you churn your own butter?
Oh, yes, with an ash churn.
You make your own soap to do laundry?
We used to make soap.
Those were hard times, weren't they?
Well, we didn't take it hard.
It was just the way it was.
It kept us busy. And it'd be just like jelly. My mother, I don't think, ever made any bar soap. But later on, I've known people, when the war was going on, they took, what was it, borax.
Mm-hmm. Borax.
And used the lye. And then eventually people got to buying the red seal lye again and used that and borax and poured in some kind of a container and mixed it good and then cut it out in bar.
What was the first invention that you can remember that was really quite helpful in the house or, that was quite useful?
Well, I don't know. My mother had a sewing machine.
She did?
Did the
treadle? One of those treadle sewing?
Yes, like the one I had.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever milk cows?
Huh?
Do you ever milk cows?
Yes.
Do you How many acres did you guys have on your farm?
He bought 40 acres first. And how much does he give for that? I think $100.
For 40 acres?
Mm-hmm. And then later on, just off of this county road, in the back of it, they had a land, and then somebody bought a house, a piece of ground in the back of it. I think it had 45 acres, and they built a house up there. They had a log house, too. And later on, I guess, let me see how old I would have been. When my brother, you remember my brother that died?
Brent? Brent?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, when he was baby, my dad bought that 40 acres and had a house on it and a barn. Now ours didn't have anything on it when he bought the first 40, and he gets $350 for that.
Okay, so he gave $100 for the first 40 acres,
mm-hmm.
and then 300 and
350, I think it was.
50 for the second.
Uh-huh, but it had a house and barn on it.
Oh, it had a house and a barn.
It had, Dad built a log house for, I wasn't born in the house that he built on that first 40 acres. My grandfather owned a cottage back off of the road. People didn't try to build on the road or on a busy, like we'd say, streets here in town. It had I don't know how big that house was. I don't, I know I've been in the house after I was 15 years old, but they had moved the house to a different spot of ground.
Were you ever a midwife for delivering babies?
Once.
You delivered one?
I helped, and before I got, before too long, the doctor got there, a man doctor. But I was with my mother when my younger sister was born, and just a midwife helped.
Mm-hmm.
She, I was 15 years old then.
Is Froni still living?
Who?
Froni?
No. No.
When did she pass away, Grandma?
It's in one of them books. You say when?
Yeah, when? 2 years ago?
No, it's been longer than that. It's in one of them address books.
Okay.
And, you remember Ruby?
Yeah.
She's gone.
She is.
Mm-hmm. And my brother.
Grant. So that leaves Edna? That leaves
myself.
Yeah.
And Edna. And Ida.
Ida.
And Ida is, I'm 7.5 years older than Ida. And I'm 15 years older than Edna.
Do you get to see, talk to them, Grandma, on the phone or write? Do they write you or call?
They what?
Do you get to talk to them on the phone? Does Edna call you and Ida?
Oh, well, when Edna was, she don't call me from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Florida now. But when she, they lived out south of town here, in that trailer, why, she called me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They lived out near, not too far from Southport.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll call her while I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that'd be long distance.
No.
They live out on 52nd Street. She lives with her daughter. I'm 7.5 years older than Ida, and I'm 15 years older than
Did you have any, what kind of pets did you have as a child?
Chickens.
Chickens?
We had pet chickens.
Did you give them names?
No.
Don't.
What does that light come from?
He has the camera, strobe light in.
Anyway, I thought it was somebody peeking in the window thinking it was still Halloween.
did you guys have any trick-or-treaters in Wisconsin?
Oh, no. No one.
Two teachers out tomorrow.
What? I'll look at these books